Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This is the word of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer as we listen to his word. Heavenly Father, we pray as we listen to your word, Lord, give us understanding, Lord. Help us to also meditate and reflect what your word means to our lives, Lord. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can you recall a situation in your life where you sense God's presence or felt that sense of his glory? Do you have a situation in your life where you sense God's presence or experience his glory? Now, I believe for some of us, perhaps that moment is when what we see in creation, that majestic sunrise or that sunset over a clear blue sky. Perhaps it was that rainbow that stretched like a banner from one end of the sky to the other end, assuring you that God is present despite this chaotic world and his glory prevails. You know, such scene would have lifted our days and strengthened our faith. I was once mesmerized by a pair of eagles gliding across the sky. It was as though these two magnificent birds were putting up an aerial display for their creator, giving him the glory. And for those of you who climb mountains, seeing God's glory is when you are standing on the mountaintop surveying what you see, the broad expanse of God's creation, and being captivated by that sense of how tiny we are. And we see all the splendor before you on the mountaintop. There's this awareness of God's glory in his creation. Or maybe some of us experience God's presence or his glory in a particular circumstances where we're going through a rough patch and God miraculously provided where we needed it most. For some of us, perhaps it's the way that he answers our prayers, healing us, or salvation of a family member in ways that defy our expectations. Perhaps for some, we experience God's glory through a worship experience, being led in worship, singing your favorite song, joining brothers and sisters in Christ in one voice, give us that sense of awe and divine presence with God. Now, we heard last week that God's glory can be seen and experienced through the outward display of his majesty and his power. We see this a couple of times in the book of Exodus. And if we are attentive, we too can see and have that sense of God's glory in some of the examples that I mentioned earlier. But we also learned last week that God's glory is not limited to that visible display of his mighty acts, God's glory is also seen in the depth of his character. When Moses asked God, "Please show me your glory," God made all his goodness pass him by. And the weight of God's glory is seen in that God is merciful, he is gracious, he is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He takes away sin completely. Yet he is a God who will administer justice on the wicked. And like Moses, we can respond to God's glory by worshiping him. And worship, we see in the New Testament, it also includes living as a living sacrifice. Responding as a living sacrifice can also mean to bear fruits in our character and our service. Now, we have come to the last chapter in our series in Exodus. And Exodus 40 again ends with the glory of God filling the tabernacle. Now, what is the tabernacle? Now, we have heard in an earlier sermon, the tabernacle is like this mobile temple which the people of God carry in their journey. The tabernacle is God's dwelling place. It's a tent. It is the meeting place between God and his people. And it is through the tabernacle, or this tent dedicated for the worship of God, where God is made known to the people. And as long as the tabernacle is with the people, they are assured of God's presence and his protection. And we have seen in chapter 25, right up to chapter 31, God gave Moses very detailed instructions on how to make each component, the material to use, the exact measurements on how to build the tabernacle, this place of worship that reflects God's presence and his glory. But very unfortunately, in chapter 32, the people were tempted and instead went on to build that golden calf. They tested God and worshipped an idol. And in that chapter, Moses quickly interceded for the people, and God, being true to his character, he forgives them. And in chapter 34, he renews the covenant with the people. And what we see from chapter 34 onwards, the people stayed focused to build this tabernacle. And in the last two chapters of the book of Exodus, God instructs Moses on how to now assemble the tabernacle. And in our passage today, this tabernacle is completed. And the final scene that I read just now tells of God filling the tabernacle with his glory and his majesty. Now, the close of Exodus reveals two attributes of God, which are part of his glory also. And so in our sermon today, we want to unpack or uncover these two attributes of God. We'll do that first. And then we'll look how the tabernacle, this tabernacle which represents God's dwelling with his people, is seen in the New Testament and then later understood. Or in other words, what it means for us today. So turn with me to verse 35. And we are told in verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. Now here what we see is that God has come to draw near with his people. And he filled the tabernacle with his majesty, with his glory. But although God drew near, Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle. It is not as though Moses was, there's something wrong with Moses. But the presence of God was just so overwhelming that no human being can go near or come close to it. And we remember God's word to Moses in chapter 33, verse 20. You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. That is the glorious splendor, the holiness of God. Now, this glorious sight highlights there is something about God that we need to bear in mind. And that is, God is distinct from the rest of creation. And the theological term for this is the transcendence of God. Now, basically, what it means is that God is uniquely different from creation. We see it throughout Exodus. God is over and above the Pharaoh or any power in the world. He has the power and authority to send and to stop plagues. He can part the sea. He provides miraculously bread from heaven. He is not part of creation, but above it, because he made it and he rules over it. Now, what does this transcendence of God mean for us today? Now, verses 34 and 35 are reminders of how we ought to relate to God. We cannot lose this sense of the transcendence of God, God's holiness, his majesty, his glory. It is important that we have the highest regard for God's holiness and not try to bring God down to our level. Or worse, create a God that we want to believe in. We ought to come to the God of the Bible in reverence. It is seen in our worship, in our daily life also. When we come to church to worship, we put away our distraction, we worship in reverence, giving him the due honor. And those of you who are at home watching the online service, it's the same applied to us, that this is a time that we worship God and not be entertained per se. And let's challenge ourselves not to be distracted, but to worship him. Now, we also remember, as we understand this, the transcendence of God, his glory, that our access to God, this relationship, is a privilege that cannot be taken for granted. It is only possible because God draw near to us. And that is something that we will see in the next attribute of God. And we see in God filling the tabernacle, it tells that he wants to draw near to his people. And this aspect about God drawing near to his people talks, the term for it is the immanence for God. And it tells that although God is distinct, he remains close to his creation. Brothers and sisters, the very reason that God asked Moses to build the tabernacle is he wants to be near to his people. He wants them to experience him in the best possible way. God wants to dwell with his people, even if it's in a tent, in the desert. Can you imagine God descending into a tent made by feeble hands? The tent contains the Holy of Holies, which is probably the size or smaller than a HDB flat storeroom. Yet the God who speaks the entire universe is willing to dwell with his people in this tabernacle. You know, it tells of a staggering humility in the character of God and his desire to be close to his people. It tells us that the God of the Bible is not some very abstract deity who is not interested in our lives. He is one who is involved with creation in the lives of his people. And we see it right at the start of Exodus. God sees, God hears, and God knows the suffering of his people. He listens to the cries that goes up to him, our prayers. And when the people of God call out to him, he come and rescue them. We look in verses 36 to 38, it tells us the cloud, God's presence is with the people through a cloud by day and fire by night. And it tells about God guiding them every step of the way. And the cloud and the fire are a visual reminder of God's presence. It is as though God is saying, I am here. I am with you, right in the midst of you, in the midst of your problems. I'm with your trials, when you face an obstacle. I am with you, leading you, guiding you. Well, the Lord may not be leading us to Canaan, as in the people then, but he's leading us in our daily lives. The struggles that we face, the uncertainty, he is there, he's ahead of us. And in Hebrews 11, 16, tell us of a better country and a heavenly one. He is guiding our lives, not just the here and now, but also in his eternal kingdom. Now, what can be our response to the knowledge that God wants to be near us? Now, we may not always feel it, but we can be sure that God draws close to us. And we can draw close and draw near to him. We do that as we read his word and understand who he is. When we hear the preaching of God's word, the Holy Spirit may impress upon our hearts certain truths that God wants to speak to us, words of comfort, to convict us, to guide us in our decision making. We don't need that very special mountaintop experience. The Word of God and the Spirit of God help us to know that God is near and we can draw near to God. So we observe in this final scene in Exodus two attributes when God filled the tabernacle, God's glory fills the tabernacle. It shows the transcendence of God, his excellent majesty. He's above all creation. There's this sense of awe and holiness about God. It is so overwhelming that it prevents Moses from entering. And we cannot miss this in our understanding of God. Yet we also see that God wants to dwell with his people. He is near his people in the best possible way. You know, in the Old Testament, God manifests his presence and his glory through the tabernacle. The tabernacle was later replaced by the temple that Solomon built. Now, when we come to the New Testament, the tabernacle or the temple take on a new meaning and understanding. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, when John uses the word dwelt, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt means to tent, build a tent, to encamp. It has the same meaning of the word tabernacle in the Old Testament, where it is a tent, a dwelling place. God tent with his people. And here what it says is Jesus, the Son of God, make his tent among us. He draw near to us. The way that God draw near is no longer through a tabernacle or a temple, but is in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. What the tent or the tabernacle mean in the Old Testament, you see it in Jesus. His presence, God's glory is in Jesus. God has drawn near to us through Jesus. And so if you want to know God and experience his presence in your life, then put your faith in Jesus. He is the tabernacle for us. Jesus is God who has drawn close to us. But the New Testament also reminds us that we too are the temple of God, called to reflect God's glory. You know, in the book of Acts, especially in Acts chapter 2, after Jesus ascended to the Father, the Spirit comes and fills the believers with the presence of God. And so it's not surprising, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul reminds the church this: do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Now, Paul reminds us here, believers and the church as a whole, that we are now the temple of God, or the tabernacle of God. We are God's tabernacle and temple because the Spirit of God resides in us. And just as the tabernacle is the place that reflects God's glory, the people of God, every believer, and the church as a whole, as the temple of God, are to reflect his glory. Now, what does that mean? How do we reflect God's glory? The context of the 1 Corinthian passage tells us what we do with our body, our lives, matters. The way we live glorifies God. And since the church and the lives of believers is God's temple, then we ought to live life that glorifies him. Now, what it potentially means is this. One of the places that we look for in God's, for God's glory is in one another. The hymn that we sang just now from Keith and Christine Gettys, "Speak, O Lord," it has this line that says, "That the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds in faith." That is what it means to reflect the glory of God as a believer and as the church. It tells that being that temple or the tabernacle of God means that we have a responsibility. And our primary purpose is to reflect the glory of God. And so we ask ourselves some very hard questions. If someone looks at our life today, whether in your workplace or in your school or be in our family, are they able to see a glimpse of the glory of God in our character, in how we live, the acts of faith and deeds in our lives, in how we love? I I'd like to leave us with a story. And this story can be like a parable that, you know, we continue to meditate and ponder, how are we to live as God's tabernacle? And this story is taken from is from Gary Thomas in his book, Sacred Marriage. That is an old Hebrew tale about how the spot was chosen to build God's holy temple. And this tale is about two brothers who work on a common field. And each night they divided whatever grain that they have produced, and each take an equal portion back home. One brother was single, and the other one was married and had a large family. But the single brother decided that his married brother, with all his children, certainly needs more grain than he did. So at night, he secretly crept over his brother's bun and poured a larger portion into his bun. The married brother realized also that his single brother didn't have any children to care for him in old age. And he was very concerned for his brother's future. So he too got up one night and secretly deposited more grain into his single brother's bun. One night, they met each other halfway. And each brother realized what the other was doing. And so they embraced, they were touched by the love they had for each other. And the story goes on to say, God witnessed what happened, and he said, "This is the holy place. This is the place of love, and my temple will be built here." The holy place is that spot where God is made known, his love is made known to people. The place where human beings discover each other in love. Brothers and sisters, because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, we are now the temple of God, the tabernacle of God. And that means that we bear the glory of God in the way that we live and relate to one another. And so let us reflect his glory to the world we live and in how we relate with one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us that we are your tabernacle, the place that we reflect your glory. And we pray, Father, that you enable us by the power of your Spirit to represent your presence and your glory to the people so that they may see that you are present and helping them through our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.